your Section 8 move-in inspection, they call it an initial inspection, then it must occur within 7 days. If it doesn't occur or scheduled within 7 days, then we can terminate the pending rental arrangement with no harm, no foul, no penalties to anybody.
You're listening to 5-Hour Real Estate Week, where you'll learn to consistently buy real estate in only 5 hours a week. So if you're ready to invest in real estate, achieve financial freedom, and own the lifestyle you deserve, even with your job, this is the show for you. Now, here's your host, Mike Butler.
Hello, fellow investors, and welcome to the 5-Hour Real Estate Week podcast. I'm Mike Butler, and today's episode is Big City Section 8 Nightmare Reduction Program Highlights. That's a whole bunch of words. But before we get into that, I want to extend a huge thank you for you sharing, following, subscribing, because this podcast right here, we are just blowing the doors off on the internet as far as podcast goes. And I am shocked. I don't know anything about podcasts, never done them before. In fact, I have a hard time finding time to listen to any podcasts. But please continue doing what you're doing. Subscribe, follow, share, do all that stuff. And we are rocking and rolling. We're getting to the top. And I'm getting all kinds of invites to go be on other people's podcasts to teach them how I'm doing what I'm doing. All right. So anyway, let's get into the meat and potatoes of today's episode. So think of this, big city Section 8. Okay. If you live in a big city or you invest in a big city, and odds are you don't know anybody. Okay. I mean, people don't know each other in a big city. You're nothing but a number. So my town, Louisville, Kentucky, does count as a big city. Okay. And so we have a government agency called the Louisville Metro Housing Authority. They administer the Section 8 program. And as a rule of thumb, they have become very, very anti-landlord. And that's not good. I started participating in my local Section 8 program back around 1990, 91, somewhere in there. And it was a good program. And I can say this, I've got many, many families on the Section 8 program that are just as good, if not better, than straight rent tenants. Okay. The problem is that Section 8 office that administers the program, they're losing sight of their own mission objective. And after many, many meetings with leaders and federal HUD leaders and state HUD leaders, this and that, back in December 2016, we turned it off. Well, my local city council, back in November of last year, they updated our fair housing ordinance. And one of the protected classes that they added to the fair housing is called source of income. So what that means is we can no longer advertise or put a sign up or have anything on our website that says, no Section 8. We used to do that, and it takes effect March 31st of 2021. Well, we made some changes to how we had to remove no Section 8. And remember, guys, yeah, I've got a chip on my shoulder towards the Section 8 program, but not the families on Section 8, okay? The chip is on my program because of the government agency. In fact, I went so far as to volunteer. I'm an advocate for the folks on Section 8 that need the help. Okay, but I volunteered to create a landlord certification training course for every new landlord who wanted to participate in a Section 8 program. They had to take this orientation training and pass a little quiz before they could be certified to participate in the program. They go, Mike, that's a great idea. Yeah, we'd love for you to do it. No, they did it on their own, and it's a mess, and frustration. Okay, so I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, so now we can't say no Section 8. And we can't discriminate based on source of income. Okay. And so I have added a script for my staff people when answering the phones or dealing with people, or I put it on the website. Okay. The folks that are looking for a home after they've had their briefing, I said, do you take Section 8? We say, yes, we do. Provide these three criteria are met. Number one, the applicant must be approved. We're going to process that rental application just like any other. They got to be approved. Number two, the rental unit must pass the housing quality standards of the Section 8 program. Okay. And number three, okay, the government agency, that Section 8 program, they must approve the monthly rent. Now, if any one of those falls short, no, they're out. Okay. So, as you might know, I meet on a regular basis with my Gladiator real estate legal attorney who goes into court on evictions and lawsuits and stuff like that. And we meet normally a couple times a week and down at Cunningham's Creekside Restaurant, and we'll sit out on the patio and we'll talk shop and different things and all. You may have heard me talk about him before. But anyway, he was telling me this story. Listen to this. This happened in eviction court. Okay. So there was a landlord that he represented, okay, who was evicting a tenant for something other than non-payment of rent. Now, during that CDC eviction moratorium, we were forbidden and you were forbidden from evicting anybody for non-payment of rent, okay? But we could pursue evicting folks for lease violations, grass too tall, trash in the yard, cars parked on the roof, or whatever, okay? And so he was representing a landlord who was evicting a tenant for a lease violation. And so the tenant shows up in court and they have a helper with them of some sort. I don't know, a free legal aid attorney or somebody from Section 8. I don't know. But somebody showed up to help the tenant. And this is unbelievable. Okay. That person who was on the tenant side said to the judge, said, "Your Honor, there is no lease violation because there is no valid lease." And my attorney turned and looked at him and said, "What? These folks are on Section 8. Well, guess what? Now listen to this carefully because this is true. Section 8 office had never signed all the paperwork and had never sent it back to the landlord. So the landlord had no lease, a valid lease he could fall back on or she fall back on to say, here's the lease. It's signed by all parties. This is a valid lease and you're violating page 3, paragraph 4. Now, isn't that sick? And that was Section 8 drug the ball in that. So when he told me that, that was a straw that broke the camel's back. I said, that's it. I'm creating a brand new set of Section 8 additional provisions. Now, let me caution you. Yeah, I'm excited. Okay. Yes, I'm passionate about this. If you live in Mayberry, okay, you might not have anything near what I'm describing because everybody knows everybody and they're friendly and they get along and all this and that. But if you live in what might be deemed a big city, okay, and if you hear Section 8 nightmare stories from other fellow investors and landlords and rental property owners and property managers, well, then this is for you. So here's what I did. So I created an 8-page Section 8 additional provisions, and I put some things in there that I never thought of in the past before. But here's the deal. I'm going to try to give you the highlights of it and a summary of it. Okay. So Section 8, so a person on Section who's participating in Section 8 program, they fill out a rental application. Okay. Let's assume they get approved. Well, they have a packet that they get from Section 8 when they attend their so-called briefing, and they give them an envelope with a bunch of old-timey paper forms with the NCR carbonless stuff. So you got a yellow copy, a pink copy, a white copy, and all this garbage, okay? And so your applicant, once approved, they'll bring you that packet, and then the landlord's got to fill it out, okay? And what has happened in the past is I put a provision in there that says, okay, when we get your briefing packet done, okay, then you have to come to the office, pick it up, okay, that same day, and you got to get it to your social worker, your caseworker, whoever it is in the Section 8 office. You got to hand deliver that to them the next business day. Now, let me tell you about my town. Get this, the Section 8 office is only open Monday through Thursday, and they're closed on Friday for paperwork. Okay, hold that thought. Well, if you try to call them Monday through Thursday, you can't get a person. Nobody answers the phone. So the applicant on Section 8, they got to get that packet to their worker before the end of the next business day. Okay. Now you've got a date there. Now your Section 8 move-in inspection, okay, they call it an initial inspection, then it must occur within 7 days. And if it doesn't, occur or scheduled within 7 days, then we can terminate the pending rental arrangement with no harm, no foul, no penalties to anybody, any parties. Okay. Now, let me just fast forward to a couple of other highlights here. Now, remember what I said was the straw that broke the camel's back? Okay, so this was the one that said, hey, there is no valid lease. Well, as I said earlier, up until March 31st, I stopped participating in the Section 8 program. Now, believe it or not, I still have families and tenants who are on the Section 8 program. Prior to all that, they've been with me for decades. They're great folks, okay? So there's nothing wrong with the families that are on them if you find the right ones. So, all right. So remember the straw that broke the camel's back? Yeah, they don't have a valid lease. Well, I was teaching a class about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and there was a fellow who participates very actively in the Section 8 program here in my town, and he says it takes him anywhere from 3 to 6 months to get all the signed documents from Section 8 so that he has a copy of a valid lease. That's horrible, okay? My experience has been, there's been occasions where we move a tenant in on the Section 8 program. They don't send us the documents, and we get the annual renewal papers before we get the copies of the signed lease agreement. Might hurt your head a little bit. So here's what I did. Okay. Should this, the initial move-in inspection fail, the landlord can terminate the pending rental agreement with no harm, no foul. Okay. And should the total monthly rent not be approved, landlord can terminate the pending rental agreement, no harm, no foul. Okay. And no more verbal acceptance of anything. Everything has to be done in writing. That's what my attorney recommends. Okay. Everything has to be done in writing, because now these folks, basically they're calling up landlords and lying to them, especially on this rental assistance programs that are available where they can't get the federal money out fast enough. They got $100 million set up to give out to tenants in my town alone. $100 million. Crazy. All right. So the rental agreement, listen to this one. This is the cherry on top. Okay. Now, should the total monthly rent not be approved, the landlord can cancel the pending and terminate the agreement with Section 8 on written notice to Section 8 office by email effective on sending it, and the landlord can rent the unit to the next qualified applicant. Now, this is a home run, all right? The rental agreement with the tenant, Section 8, and the landlord is not valid until the landlord has a verified receipt of all documents properly and fully executed by the tenant, Section 8, and the landlord. And until we get receipt of these fully executed documents, the tenant will not be given keys to the unit nor allow to take possession of the unit at all. So note, okay, and I put this on my little provisions here. Section 8 office is open Monday through Thursday. They're closed on Fridays for paperwork, so there should be no delay in getting this to them. Remember, no verbal anything. Got to be in writing. So I don't want you to give them the keys or do anything until you get your all of your signed documents, all the documents involved in renting that unit to that tenant, okay? Now, until the lease is valid, under the preceding item number 6, and pending until the receipt of all signed documents from Section 8 and the tenant, the landlord, get this is awesome, the landlord may continue to hold the rental unit out for rent, receive rental applications, and rent the unit to the first available qualified applicant. So basically, it's like the race is on. All right, so we'll participate in the Section 8 program provided these 3 criteria are met. 1, the applicant must be approved. 2, the rental unit must pass the inspection. And 3, the requested rent must be approved. So you got those 3 things, okay? Now, the tenant, okay, and all that's got to be done and approved in writing, because it used to be the inspector will say, yeah, it's passed, it's okay, blah, 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 blah. And we give the tenant the keys and they move in. I'm not doing that no more. Don't have to, can't do it because of what happened in that court, in that eviction court mess that I shared with you earlier. Okay. So the race is on. All right. Here's somebody that got approved. We filled out their Section 8 briefing packet. They take it into their workers. You know, sometimes those inspections are not scheduled for 3 or 4 weeks. You're losing money, dude. That's a full month of rent. that you can lose. And if it fails, and then they're going to reschedule another inspection, there's another 3 weeks. Okay. So here's what I've done. The race is on. We have no lease with Section 8. No promises, no commitment, no nothing with Section 8 until when? Until we get all the properly signed, executed documents back in our office. Okay. And we have receipt of those. Okay. So in the meantime, I can still show that unit, take applications. And if somebody applies and they qualify, and then they produce everything needed within 24 hours, they sign a rental agreement, the move-in inspection, produce all the monies, the renter's insurance and all this and that, you know what? We can rent it to them. And then we can send notice Section 8, terminate that. Now, I promise you, this is going to get a whole bunch of people's panties in a wad down there at the Section 8 office, okay? And here's what's going to happen. They're going to call and say, you can't do that. You can't do that. Okay, tell me where it's illegal that I can't do that. Okay, what part of fair housing or anything am I violating? What part of landlord-tenant law am I violating? Okay, so I'm looking forward to this challenge, okay? And so here's how you can protect yourself on this. Do not accept one penny from this applicant who's in the Section 8 program, okay? Don't accept a penny other than their application fee. Do not accept security deposit. Do not accept any kind of monies of any kind. Don't accept the renter's insurance policy because you're going to make Section 8 perform first, okay? So that's pretty cool. And I've got some more stuff in there, but I just don't have time to get into it. I've gone way over on this one here. But once again, I want to thank you for sharing my podcast, sharing this podcast, and following, subscribing, and please share it with everybody else that you can, because we want to blow the doors off on this. And if you like it, I want to hear from you. Okay. So put some comments in there, fire me some comments. And remember, I'm not a podcast expert, so I don't know where you go to do all this stuff, but please add your comments, share it, do all this and that. And I promise you, I'm going to learn a little bit each week as we go through this stuff. Okay. So adios, get out there and big city Section 8 nightmare reduction program highlights. I hope you learned some stuff from this. And if you're in small town Mayberry, USA, you're probably okay. Okay. So adios. Have a good one. See you on the next one.
Glad you joined us for another episode of 5-Hour Real Estate Week. The best thing you can do now is put this information to action. To help you get started, Mike created a free resource for you called How to Buy 50 Houses a Year, Even with Your Job. Download it now by going to mikebutler.com/50houses. And we'll see you on the next episode.